In Matthew chapter 15, Matthew 15. Am I on with this thing? All right. Matthew chapter 15, we're going to begin reading in verse 21. We'll share a message, a series of messages I'm doing entitled Great Statements of Faith. And this morning's message is entitled Lord Help Me. And Matthew chapter 15, begin reading in verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful to be able to just read the Word of God. Lord, to be able to meditate upon it, to listen to preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit will be our teacher and guide this morning as we go through this great passage. May we realize in a clear, unique way today that, Lord, you respond to those that will cry out to you and say, Lord, help me. And, Lord, I know that in every area of our life, from salvation throughout all eternity, Lord, that you're ready and willing to hear us and to be able to respond to us, Lord, in accordance with thy perfect will. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just speak in a special way. May every believer here this morning be able to be drawn closer to you and realize whatever the trials or struggles that we're facing, Lord, you're concerned about them and you have an ear that is open to us. But, Lord, there may be someone here that's never been saved. They might know about God. They might have a religion, but they've never truly trusted Christ as their Savior. So, Holy Spirit, will you touch them? Will you bring conviction upon them? Will they help them, Lord, to come to a place where they realize they need the help of God, the salvation that comes from God and God alone? And I pray they'll be gloriously saved this morning. So bless now the preaching of the Word of God. Speak through me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text verse is verse 25. It says, Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You know, I'm thankful that many, many years ago, back in 1979, when I heard the gospel for the first time, through that week, I was under conviction, and in the middle of the night, I got up in the middle of the night, and I cried out to God in my prayer, and I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to heaven, but Lord, I certainly don't want to go to hell. Will you save me? And God saved me, and I was never the same. God changed my life, gave me new life, called me into ministry, and it's been amazing to watch what God would do through that one simple prayer, basically throwing myself at the throne of grace, depending on God to save my soul. Lord, help me. Oh, throughout the years of being a Christian, there's been many places where I had nowhere to turn, had no way or any concept about how I was going to be able to overcome or get through the situation I was in. But I was able to cry out to God and say, Lord, will you help me in this situation? And God has been able to see me through over and over again. This woman has a very stressful situation on her heart, and she's crying out to God for help because her daughter, it says, is grievously vexed with the devil. The problem is she is a Canaanite woman. We read that in verse 22. She came out of the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And as a Canaanite woman with a daughter that was demon-possessed, she is coming to the Messiah of Israel, Jesus Christ, to help her. The amazing thing is that Jesus came to his own, but his own received him not.
But he said this, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The rejection of Israel to their Messiah would literally open the door for the gospel to go to the Gentile, so that today you and I can stand here and say, yes, we know we're saved because the gospel has been preached. Jesus had died and buried and rose again and has offered a deliverance from our sins through faith in what he did on the cross of Calvary. The problem in this passage is that this woman, as a Canaanite woman, is far removed from the commonwealth of Israel. She is not in a position where she can enjoy the blessings upon her that Israel had enjoyed and was continuing to enjoy. And even above that and beyond that, her heart is broken because of the suffering of her child. Any parent that you could talk to, and you were to ask them, how does their heart ache when their child is suffering, they would share with you the heartache that is beyond control when a child is suffering. And this woman is concerned about her daughter, and so much so because of her daughter being possessed and manipulated by this demon that was in her. And so she cries out, Lord, help me. You know, through the scriptures, there's people who have cried out for God to help and would not let go of God until he did respond to them. You know, Jacob, all the way back in the book of Genesis in 32, would wrestle with the angel of the Lord all night. And the angel of the Lord would say to him, he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Jacob understood the concept of grabbing a hold of God and holding on until the blessings come. And this woman is in a dire situation. She is crying out for Jesus to respond to her, to bring healing to her daughter, and she's not going to let go. She's not going to back off. We read in Mark chapter 9 of a man whose son was demon-possessed. He brings them to the disciples in Mark chapter 9, and the disciples could not cast them out. And he comes to Jesus and he says, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He desired for Jesus to do something that he could not do. His son was being manipulated and controlled and destroyed by this demon that was possessing him. He cried out, Lord, help me. You know, the publican in Luke chapter 18 went down to the temple to pray. And Jesus gives us the story of the publican and the Pharisee who went to pray. Oh, the Pharisee had his religion. The Pharisee had his holy garb that he wore. And the Pharisee boasted about his times of fasting and prayer and boasted about his tithing. But this publican, this sinner, went in, could not even, it says, look up to heaven. But he literally smote his breast and cried out to God, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. And the Bible tells us that this man, this publican, who cried for the mercy of God, went down justified rather than this Pharisee who had so much to supposedly to boast about. You know, the cry of David in Psalm 40 and verse 13 is simply, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. And I just want you to know this morning, you might be going through a trial or a difficulty today that you see no way out. But I want you to know there's a God in heaven who can help you if you cry out to him. You might be here this morning and you see no hope of eternity. You see no hope of going to heaven when you die. But I can tell you this, that if you'll call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll save your soul and give you life that is everlasting. It is simply coming to the place of crying out, Lord, help me. So let's look at this woman and draw some practical applications of things that she experienced. Notice, first of all, according to verse 22, her problem was beyond her control. Her problem was beyond her control. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And so here is a situation that she has no control over. And here's why. First of all, her heritage has condemned her. It says that she was from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and she was a Canaanite. Now her heritage has condemned her. You know, our heritage has condemned us. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And the reality is every person is born in a condition that is separated from God. And because of who you are, away from Christ, you have no hope. You have no eternal life. The only thing that you can look forward to is eternity in hell, being punished and tormented in the torments of flames of hell. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so our heritage condemns us. We are all sinners born separated from God. Literally, this woman as a Canaanite, Genesis 9:25 said, and he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brother." And certainly we know there was a curse that was pronounced upon Canaan. And here is a woman who is a descendant of Canaan. And Jesus is there, the Messiah of Israel. But she is condemned because of her heritage. The Jews had nothing to do with the Canaanites. And so this situation is out of her control. She can't change her heritage. She can't change who she is. And so she cries out to God, "Help me." Notice not only did her heritage condemn her, but there is the Messiah of Israel that she acknowledges. She says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." She's acknowledging the fact that Jesus Christ was the prophet, a prophecy fulfilled in the Messiah that would come as a descendant of David. In John chapter 7, in verse 40, it says, "And many people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet." They're acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament. In verse 41, it said this, "Others said, this is Christ, but some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee?" And so here is a great division over who Jesus Christ is. And they're questioning about that. And in verse 42, the response is, "Hath not the scripture said?" I'm thankful that whenever there are questions about life, when there are questions about God, that there is the word of God that we can turn to. There was a division over who Christ was because of where he came from, but yet they said the scriptures have said that Christ should come, cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was. So there was a division among the people because of him. I want you to know this morning that we're not looking for a different God. We're looking for the same Jesus that walked on the face of this earth, who was born in Bethlehem, who was born of a virgin, who did good things in healing people, who laid down his life on the cross of Calvary, who was buried and rose again and ascended up on high. And hallelujah, he's coming again to receive us up in the glory that we might be with him forevermore. And this woman understood she needed help and it needed to come from this Messiah, the son of David, that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And I want you to know you can cry out for help before to Jesus Christ. And as the eternal son of God, he'll hear you and respond to your needs. So the problem is beyond her control because her heritage has condemned her. And there's the Messiah of Israel there that can help her. Notice also that there's demonic power that is over her daughter. That's why she says, "My daughter is grievously vexed of a devil." You know, some people take it very lightly, this thing about the devil. I see t-shirts sometimes Christians wear about stomping on the devil and all this. And I tremble. I shake at it because the devil is an adversary that fights against the believer. The devil is a real person who condemns all that God is and destroys whatever he can that God has so preciously moved in his creation. He is not somebody to be reckoned with in of yourself. He is beyond your control. In Jude, in verse 9, and he says, "And Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but saith, the Lord rebuke thee." I'm going to tell you, you better be careful when it comes time to deal with the devil. If you want to put a challenge out before the devil will take on the challenge. I remember my dad, as a young Christian, he got saved. My mom prayed for him for 28 years to be saved. And he got saved, and I remember he said this, shortly after I got saved, he said, I put a challenge out. I told the devil, bring it on, because I have the Lord on my side. And he said, you know what the devil did? He brought it on. He said, next thing you know, his truck was breaking down. I mean, he had all kinds of problems. And he had to call on the Lord and ask God to stay the attack of the devil. I'm telling you, he is not somebody to be playing games with. And this woman knew that she could do nothing to help her daughter because she was vexed of an evil spirit. And 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I'm going to tell you, he wants to devour you this morning. He wants to ruin your children this morning. He'll do whatever he can to get you to a place of disliking the church and being dissatisfied with God. He'll do whatever he can to bring into your life all kinds of things that are contrary to the spirit by which we are to live as a Christian. And the next thing you know, your life is grievously vexed with the devil. Don't you think for one moment this morning that you're immune from the attacks of the devil. And he is beyond your control. Unless the Lord intercede on our behalf, unless the Lord rebuke the devil, we have no ability to fight against him. This woman understands. She needs God's help because she cannot control the situation in her daughter. So here is a woman whose problem is beyond her control. Notice another thing here about this woman. Her position is void of blessings. In verse 23, and she goes on and says, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice, first of all, her position was void of blessings because it was hindered by others' opinion. This woman, the disciples came to Jesus, said, send her away. They didn't want anything to do with this Canaanite woman. You know, I thought it was interesting when you read John chapter 4 when Jesus was witnessing to the Samaritan woman. And Jesus would lead her to himself and she would be gloriously saved. The disciples did not comprehend what was going on in the life of Christ. They said, Master careth not that we've brought you meat. He says, I have meat to eat of that thou knowest thereof. Not of. And Jesus led this woman to himself because these disciples didn't want anything to do with the Samaritans. Well, here's another woman who's a Canaanite. They don't want anything to do with this Canaanite woman. And they came to Jesus and besought him, wanting him to get rid of her because they did not want anything to do with her. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's been many a time that I believe believers hinder the ability for others to come to Christ. Who have you hindered from coming to Christ? These disciples are hindering this woman who has a desperate need in her life from coming into the presence of Jesus Christ. They did it to the children. They brought children unto Jesus and the disciples hindered them. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus had to rebuke his disciples because they were always opposing people that they didn't like. This woman was hindered from getting the blessings of God because of others people's opinion. I'm telling you, there's people outside this church that don't look like you. They don't act like you. They don't live like you. They don't have the things that you have. And they're in need of Jesus Christ. And our position is to do whatever is possible to get them saved and bring them to the Lord so they can have help. I remember years ago, a preacher down in Virginia preaching. I was at a conference, and he was saying they were preaching one. He was preaching the Word of God one day, and this prostitute had come out to church. Somebody invited her out. The church had witnessed to her, and she came in. She was dressed like a prostitute. And he said this. It just moved my heart. He said this. Not one of the people in my church looked at her funny. Not one person in my church said anything to her about being dressed inappropriate. Not one person in the church acted like they wanted to shy away from her because of the fact they understood how she presented herself, that she was a prostitute. He said, that lady came in, sat about halfway down the aisle. He said, while I was preaching about halfway through my sermon, she just got up out of her seat and came walking down the center aisle. And she got down front. He asked her, what did she want? And she said, I need to be saved. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. That woman was willing to cry out for God to give her some help. And God saved her precious soul. I'm just saying this. Well, let's not be like the disciples where we hinder others from coming to Christ because of our short opinion of who they are. And so her position was void of blessings because it was hindered by other people's opinion. Notice it was rejected even though she persisted. It says here that the disciple said, send her away. She crieth after us. That means she didn't stop. It carries with it the idea she came once, they pushed her away, and she came back. And they pushed her away, and she came back. Now they're upset about it. Now they come to Jesus, and they say, wait a minute. We can't do anything with this woman. She won't go away. She keeps crying after us. Lord, will you tell her to get out of here and tell her to go somewhere else? The rejection was hard upon her, but yet she still persisted to come in contact with Jesus Christ. And because there was rejection, she was missing out on the blessing. Psalm 78:7 says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Oh, that we might come to the place that where we have our hope in God and we open an opportunity for others to be able to come to a place of calling on God, hoping in God, and experiencing God's blessings upon them. She had a problem that was beyond her control and a position that was void of blessings. Notice she was separated from the house of Israel. In verse 24, he answered and said, and this is Jesus talking, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, Israel had a very unique relationship with God and had benefits from God because of the fact that God called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees and promised that he would make him a mighty nation. And through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, God formed a great nation by the name of Israel. And they had a benefit. Paul says this in Romans 3:1. What advantage then hath the Jew? And may I say, the Jew had an advantage over us Gentiles. And he had advantage over us Gentiles because God had called them through Abraham. And he goes on, he says, what profit is there of the circumcision? Much every way, chiefly, and here it is, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. I am so thankful for Israel, because through Israel, God penned his oracles, his word, and preserved them through the annals of time, that today I can pick up the Bible and read about who God is and what Messiah he promised and eternal life that can be enjoyed through him. But you understand, this woman is separated from Israel. She's a Canaanite. Psalm 146:5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And this woman understood that if she's going to be happy and she's going to be delivered, she needed the God of Jacob to help her. Lord, help me. And she needed the blessings of God to fall on her. Matthew Henry said this, though a Gentile, speaking about this woman, though a Gentile, she owns the promise made to the fathers of the Jews and the honor of the house of David. The Gentiles must receive Christianity not only as an improvement of natural religion, but as the perfection of the Jewish religion. With an eye to the Old Testament, her petition is, have mercy on me. She's owning up to the fact that the God of Israel is the God that she needs to worship and praise. And we need to own up to the fact as Gentiles that Christianity is the culmination, if you will, the fulfillment of the Jewish religion in the prophecy of the Messiah that would be coming, and through that Messiah, the blessings of God would flow. And we have Abraham had the blessing promises to him through a promised seed, which was Isaac, and through Jacob, and the Messiah came through Jacob, and because of that, you and I have the blessings of being able to be saved today because of the perfection and culmination of all that the Old Testament had said is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and it is Christ and Christ alone. You know, I was listening to a preacher on the radio that is in the Middle East preaching and teaching Muslims about Christ. And I was interested in what he had to say. But he said this, when we lead Muslims to the Lord, and he said that Muslims are coming to Christ. And he said, when we lead Muslims to the Lord, he says, this is what we tell them, two things. First of all, we tell them they have to turn their back on Muhammad and trust Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And if they're not willing to do that, they're not going to get saved. And then we said this, the other thing that they need to do is we ask them, if you're going to receive Christ as your Savior, are you willing to die for him? Because of the fact, in a real way, if you trust Christ as your Savior in a Muslim country with a Muslim family, your life is done. Your life is over. And yet, listen, and yet, we have so many foolish things that we allow to come in our life as Christians in America that causes us to stop going to church, causes us to stop worshiping God, causes us to turn our back on the Lord. We ought to be embarrassed. We ought to be embarrassed because we really don't understand the significance of what this woman experienced, that she was void of the blessings of God because she had to come to a place of getting the blessings through the Messiah of Israel. And you and I are void of any blessings that do not come through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the problem was beyond our control. The position was void of blessings. But number three, there was praise that was directed to the master. I am intrigued with this conversation that goes on in verse 25 through 28. It says, then came she and worshiped. Well, in verse 24, he just simply said this, I am not, I'm not sent but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then after he said that to her, then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. It's amazing to see that she understands that Jesus had come to his people Israel, but she did not stop worshiping the Lord. She came anyway. You know, if you were to say something like that to somebody nowadays, they would say, well, I'm not doing that. I'm not worshiping anymore. I'll go somewhere else. No. She turned and worshiped him because she understood the help that she needed was going to come from him. The praise that was directed is in verse 25. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. What an amazing statement here. Praise that is exalting. She came to worship him in verse 25 and to exalt him. That's what the word worship means. And she's worshiping and praising him because worship is not about us, but rather it is about God. I don't know where we're at on the slide. Okay. And it's about God. And I'm afraid far too many churches, far too many Christians are associating and identifying Christianity worship as what I get out of it, what I enjoy about it, what I can be invested in it. And we have forgotten that, wait a minute, worship is not about us. It is about God. Exalting and lifting up his name and rejoicing who he is. And if man gets any recognition, it has robbed the glory of God. And rather than it being directed to him, it is not about us. It is about God. But notice in verse 26, there's a position that is humbling because he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and give it to, and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. The position was very humbling. Can you imagine telling somebody, you can't have anything to do with God because you're nothing but a dog? You talk about not being politically correct. That's not a political correct answer there. And he refers to her as a dog. But she didn't back off. She acknowledges it. She said, basically saying, yes, Lord, I am a dog. But the reality is the dog enjoys the crumbs that falls from the master's table. I remember old preacher years ago preaching and said, you need to get under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. I remember one preacher preaching years ago. He said, well, I'm not worried about being the cup. I'm satisfied with being the saucer that catches the blessings that will overflow out of the cup. And see, we always want to exalt ourselves. This woman was willing to lower herself to literally to the position of being called a dog because she understood that worship was not about her, but it was about her God. And she also understood that redemption is not about ability, but it's about grace. There was not one thing she could offer to Jesus Christ to justify him blessing her. She said, you're right, I am a dog. The dogs enjoy the crumbs that fall. And she said, as a dog, I'm humbled that I'm ready to receive whatever the blessings you want to send my way. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Notice there was a promise that is enduring in verse 28. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now I'm going to tell you something. She's had something to worship and praise God about back in verse 25. But when you get to verse 28, she really has something to worship and praise God about. Why? Because salvation is not doing. It is about faith. He said, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee. And because her faith was coming to a place of trusting Christ even though she was being rejected. Trusting Christ even though there was those that had a low opinion of her and was refusing to give her an opportunity to come into the presence of Christ. Even though all these things were going on in her life, she still understood that, wait a minute, it is not about what I can do, it's about what God can do for me. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, it's not about what we can do. It's about what He's already done when He died on the cross of Calvary. Lord, help me. But you don't get the blessings, you don't enjoy the blessings to flow until you're willing to humble yourself and cry out and say, Lord, help me. So oftentimes we want to make deals with God. You know, this woman's not making any deal. She's pleading for help. My daughter's sore vexed. I don't have anything to offer. I can't make any deal. Lord, will you help me? And when you get in those situations, it may be financial. It may be health situations. It may be social interaction problems, family problems, whatever it may be. You get in those situations, sin that may consume you, you understand this. The only place to turn is to the Lord. There is no temptation, but that is common to man. But God will, with the temptation, provide a means of escape. How is that? Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And God can help us no matter what it is that we face in trials we have to go through. But realize in this, just because the problem is beyond your control doesn't mean God can't control it. And realize this, just because your position right now seemingly like you can't get the blessings from God flowing, the blessings are there. If you cry out, help me, Lord, and realize that praise is directed to the Master when the blessings start flowing. He deserves all of our worship. He deserves all of our praise. And no one else deserves any acknowledgement but only God and God alone. So this great statement of faith, Lord, help me. What do you need today? What is it that you need help with today? What is overwhelming you? What has robbed you of the joy of the Lord? What is it that you need God to come through? I'm telling you, God has an ear that He bends to listen to the cry of His people. You're here this morning, you're not sure you're saved. You say, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm confused about that. I've heard about it, or I haven't heard about it. I don't know about it. I don't understand it. But how can God take a sinful person like me and give me a new life? I'll tell you how, by faith. Lord, help me. It's all it takes. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can be saved this morning. People nowadays say, wow, people can't get saved anymore. People aren't interested. Oh, yes, they are. We're seeing people saved every week. And all we need to do is present to them the gospel of Christ, present to them who Jesus Christ is. And I'll tell you one thing right now, they can enter into his courts with praise because of what he'll do in their life. Lord, help me. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful this morning that any time that I've had to cry out to you, Lord, you've always heard me and you've always responded. And I'm thankful, Lord, that the blessings that flow through my dependence on you is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to have the spirit of faith like this Canaanite woman. And no matter what the opposition was or whatever the circumstances were, Lord, she just continued to cry out, help me. There might be somebody here this morning, Lord, needs help. There's not a human being that can help them. There's not one person that can meet the need in their life, but God, you can. I pray you speak to their heart, Lord, and I pray you give them a spirit of grace that they might call on your name, Lord, and believe to the point of deliverance. There might be somebody here who's not saved. Lord, oh, our heart's desires that they might be saved. Will you touch them, Lord? Will you bring them to a place where they believe to the saving of their soul? And we'll praise you for that, God. We love you, Lord, and we just desire for you to move in our midst in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.